When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. It's your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, here, joined by his lawyer friend, David Ungar, welcoming you into another edition of Musical Chairs. And we're in the home stretch of Musical Chairs. Dare I say, this could be the season finale of Musical Chairs, because, Dave, we got preseason hockey, which means we have actual hockey coming up.
Well, I know you and I have discussed an idea for the season finale that we may want to do, so maybe we can sneak that in before the real festivities start.
Perhaps.
But
when does the season actually start? I should look that up.
It's like not for a couple weeks yet, I think, because preseason starts today.
As we're recording here on Sunday, Let's NHL season opener is October 8th.
Might be able
teams,
to...
but opening. Oh, sorry. Teams must submit their opening day rosters by 5 p.m. on October 7th. So we got a couple weeks.
We might be able to sneak that last.
Fair. I will not be here next week to record. You know this. I am not. I looked at the forecast today in Orlando, and I'm discouraged. Let's just read this off here. All right. So Thursday, 80% chance of rain. Friday, 70% chance of rain. Saturday, 65% chance of rain. Sunday, 65% chance of rain.
So you're telling me there's a chance of rain on every single day there?
Yes. We got ponchos, because Disney is a theme park that will go rain or shine. Oh, yeah. You just lose the outdoor rides and some of the other outdoor festivities. It'll stink if our Halloween party gets washed out. The thing about Florida and rain and weather, though, is that it basically happens every day in the summer. Yeah. Like, it just rains like every damn day. You just don't know when or how much. So it'll be an intriguing trip to say the least, but we're still giving it a go.
Yeah. My wife's down at the, West Coast version right now. She's down there with, I renewed her pass. So she took advantage of it, took a couple of the grandkids down there to kind of mill around and,
saying goodbye to the annual pass today.
Are you?
For this time. Yeah, because they're expensive until we actually have our proper, like, Disney Vacation Club direct contract and can get the related annual pass. Like, it's gonna be rough.
I imagine that comes with an annual pass included. I would certainly hope so.
It does not. There is a specific annual pass for DVC members, but you have to be. See, the thing that's tricky about Disney Vacation Club kids is you get your Disney fix from Dave and your Uncle Patrick today. Is we're doing a resale contract, and so because we're doing a resale contract, we're like a hybrid, like a half toe in the water member of DVC once we close on it, and so we don't get all of the perks and benefits that one gets from buying directly from Disney to join DVC. And even if you buy directly from Disney, you have to buy a minimum number of points in order to reap all of those benefits. And so this contract is our starter contract. I think that we will in the future get our full contract eventually. Like, we'll get a direct contract, because I do think we're, one, going to want more points to play with, and two, we're going to want to take advantage of some of those benefits that are out there. So I'm excited for it.
Fair enough. We're going in December. That's the plan right now, going back down. After Tijuana opens, we'll do our annual holiday sort of soiree. Got to get up to Six Flags. Fright Fest is greatly expanded this year. But, of course, you know, California and its confused weather. I hate September out here because it can't make up its mind. Is it fall? Is it summer? Is it both? Can't we do both? I guess we're doing both.
My biggest concern is we spent this extra money on one of the evening Halloween party, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. If that gets rained out, like, that's really the purpose of this trip. Like, there's some other things that the little O'Dowd and I are planning on doing. He wants to do four parks in one day again. He wants to do the four parks one day challenge. And I was like, hey, I will always do four parks in one day. And he brought it up. Like, he's the one who wanted to do it. Down for that. But like some of the other stuff, I'm like, man, if we, cause that's, you know, that's $160, $170 ticket that you got to pay for. And then the next day, the Saturday of the trip, is the Mrs. O'Dowd's birthday. Ooh. So birthday at Disney World is the plan.
I mean, as far as the little O'Dowd's, somebody's got to make up for the disappointment of that Minecraft trailer to him. I mean, he's, you know.
Oh, he was so angry about it. We don't talk about it. Much like we don't talk about Bruno, we don't talk about Minecraft. That trailer. He was not happy with that. We have, regardless of when this season of Musical Chairs ends, and we probably got one more episode in us, as you noted, I am excited for this week's episode. I don't know anything about your artist, but Dave, I got to tell you, I think my artist of choice will surprise you and might melt your brain a little bit. So
I need my brain melt.
I don't know how much it'll melt your brain, but I look forward to having this conversation with you. And last week I went first, so we get to flip-flop. So it actually gets to be like the dramatic finish to this week's episode as well. It'll be after the first half break. And that's really cool. And so I don't know if you have picked a band that will match my brain-melting choice. You're kind of...
Probably not. I mean, they're kind of in my wheelhouse of like my...
That's cool.
My taste of music. So I get, okay. We can go into it now.
You don't have to go into it now because, you know, we got to take our first commercial break. Right. Take that first commercial break. We'll come back and then it'll be your turn. And then you can do it there. So Dave's already hesitating. It's in his wheelhouse. I think we're going to build the anticipation by making you enjoy one of our lovely Chair Shot radio. By the way, this is Musical Chairs on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot. Forgot all of that. Need to get that out there. Very important stuff. But we're going to take our first commercial break so that Dave can attempt to semi-melt my brain. Probably not melt my brain, but just share his band for this week's Musical Chairs, which seems to be another band within his wheelhouse, way the way he describes it. So I'm looking forward to hearing it, and I hope you are too. Stay with us. We will be right back. You are listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back into Musical Chairs. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar here with you as part of the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. We are getting into the thick of it with Musical Chairs. It is Dave's turn to go first. He noted this is a band that won't necessarily melt my brain, but it'll make a lot of sense for him. And so, Dave, sir, the floor is yours.
So the band I'm covering this week, I had never even heard of these guys until I moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. And then One of my friends introduced me to them probably late or mid 90s was the first time that I kind of heard of these guys. And as soon as I heard them, I fell in love with them because they are kind of like, you know, I'm pretty big into the punk rock scene here in Southern California and kind of the resurgence of that. It went through a real downturn in the early 90s. And then these guys were one of the bands that really helped revitalize that. And the band I want to talk about this week is Bad Religion.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm sure you're familiar with them. We all are, that sort of thing. But, you know, last week it was funny because we talked about when I talked about Rainbow and I talked about lineup changes and frequent lineup changes. And Rainbow's kind of amateurs compared to Bad Religion. I mean, these guys went through so many lineup changes in the early days, and they kind of stabilized out around the time that they signed with Atlantic Records and got kind of mainstream. But I think one of the things I've always liked about Bad Religion is Greg Graffin is the singer for Bad Religion. And this guy has, yes, he's the lead singer of a punk rock band and one of the more recognized ones in Southern California, but he is a really smart guy. And if you've listened to any Bad Religion, and you know how much I'm a fan of Rush I am, Bad Religion has lyrics similar to that. They use very in-depth lyrics, very deep thought out lyrics, big vocabulary. I know I was like reading comments on YouTube. It's like, yeah, any band that has lyrics that you need to go look up in a dictionary, that's a good band. But Greg Graffin is the only member of Bad Religion who's been there from the beginning to the end. They're still going. He's the only consistent member. Everybody else has come and gone. Greg's been there the whole time. He's an evolutionary biologist. Got his master's from UCLA, got his PhD from UCLA. He's actually, in addition to, you know, singing for Bad Religion, has done a lot of seminars around the nation. They found a new species of flower that he got credited some of it because of his research. It's pretty impressive when you think, you know, punk rock bands, you know, I'm thinking of like, you know, the Ramones and stuff like that. And they're talking about, you know, lobotomies and stuff. And then you got Greg Graffin coming out here and making all this stuff. So, you know, they just kind of, I think like they were instrumental. And like one of the other founding members of the band is Brett Gurewitz, who I believe he was a founding member of Epitaph Records. And Epitaph kind of mirrored Bad Religion's sort of, I don't know, chronology of events. You know, it kind of went up, then it went down. Then they caught fire because they had The Offspring. And we talked about The Offspring in one of the previous seasons. And when The Offspring released Smash, and it became a smash hit, Epitaph took off and Gurewitz said, hey, I need to focus more time on this. And he kind of stepped away. But I think my introduction to these guys was after Stranger Than Fiction, which is, of course, their best known record. That's the one with 21st Century Digital Boy, even though that was released on a previous record. But it's got Infected. It's got, you know, a lot of other songs. It was where they got that mainstream sort of appeal to them. And you know, they went through this phase where they got mainstream and then they declined in popularity. Band members went in and out. They sort of switched around. And then they've stabilized for the last, I don't know, since roughly 04, you know, that sort of thing. From 04 to 2010, they were kind of there in the hierarchy of things. But yeah, they're always a band that I've just loved, you know, and I can't get into too deep about the lineup changes because that just takes too much time and we don't have that kind of time. But yeah, they've always just been this band that I've looked at as far as my love for the punk rock scene in Southern California and what these guys did and how, I mean, they're opening for Green Day when Green Day was on Lookout Records, you know, as Bad Religion opening for Green Day. Now, that's a hell of a show by modern standards. And I just think, you know, they... Honestly, I think they're probably underrated as far as looking at the resurgence of musical scene in Southern California and where things kind of evolved into, you know, going from pure punk to pop punk. And these guys aren't really that poppy. But yeah, they've always been a band who I've been impressed with because of the intelligence of their lyrics. The 3-part harmonies is really kind of unique for a punk rock band. They pull that off really, really well. And they just got that distinctive sound that as soon as you hear it, you're like, okay, I recognize who this is. The voice is very distinctive. So yeah, that's what I got this week, Pat. I got Bad Religion. See if you got any thoughts about these guys.
Respect, don't necessarily follow or have any music of. So I am very interested in your deep cuts today to get a good listen. They do have a really strong following, which I think is always, you know what I mean? Like they're one of those bands, like you can say they're Bad Religion in name only because they only have, you know, like one member still active. It's like Pantera, right? Like when I went and saw Pantera, like maybe an important member of Pantera there. You have Greg rapping there for Bad Religion, you're gonna be fine. But you know their fans turn out and they're big sports. So yeah, no, I'm just very interested to hear what your I'm on their Wikipedia page, by the way, and I think it's hilarious. Their past members section.
Yes.
Is, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 listed past members on their Wikipedia page. So that that just tells you, like, sometimes a band is a sum of a group of like a Metallica,
right,
where it's like a Lars and James sort of thing and Kurt, but then other times it can be one person. Yes. And that's been particularly true with some of the bands we've talked about.
Yeah, and like, you know, these guys were formed in 1980. But I think like in the early days, you look at their former members like, oh, they
34 years ago.
Yeah, they really borrowed a lot from the Circle Jerks back in the early days. A lot of the members of the Circle Jerks end up in Bad Religion, stuff like that. So the two songs I want to talk about, one of them came out a decade after Stranger Than Fiction. And I'm including it because it's kind of become a seasonal a seasonal requirement out here in California, because every single year we deal with this, and it even comes through kind of in the song itself, but it's Los Angeles is Burning from 2004 from The Empire Strikes First, which I always thought was an excellent album title instead of The Empire Strikes Back, The Empire Strikes First. It really is. It is one of my favorite songs by them. And for those of us in California, especially the last decade, the song takes on an entirely new meaning because, you know, the hills of Los Angeles are burning. That's every year. The other one is more, it is more of a deeper cut, and it's from 2010 from The Descent of Man. And I think it's actually a bonus track on this record, and it's Someone to Believe, which is a really good, it's a very typical Bad Religion song. You know, the lyrics are there. There's the harmonies in the background. The guitar is driving. The drums are really good. It's very catchy. I mean, I don't know if that one's as well known. Certainly Los Angeles is Burning is a pretty well known song. Most people have heard that.
Sure.
But Someone to Believe, maybe not. So those are the two that I've got for the boys from California, Bad Religion and my environmental biologist friend, Greg Graffin, who I've never met. But
All right. Hey, well, I look forward to listening to them. I look forward to checking out these tracks, and I will listen to them at the same time. Well, I'll listen to them before everybody else does on this podcast, because I'll look them up after the show and YouTube them, maybe get the lyric video. I have discovered, by the way, a newfound appreciation for the lyric video that gets released by a lot of artists and stuff, because, damn, you can really get a better idea of what an artist is trying to tell you.
I'll say
instead of just guessing.
The video for Los Angeles is Burning is pretty interesting because it does have a very apocalyptic.
It's pretty famous.
Yeah, it's got an apocalyptic feel to it, and you just like the weekly forecast is just one disaster after another. It's kind of topical. You look at what's going on today.
It's the country right now. Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
Everything's fine. We're not gonna get super political. Yeah. Everything's fine. It's fine.
How are you?
Nothing to see here. Mayday, mayday, mayday. We got a radio leak or a reactor leak. Very dangerous. Okay. Boring conversation anyway. We're going to take our second commercial break because, folks, I'm going to play my favorite musical chairs game with Dave, where we see if Dave can guess the artist before we talk about the artist.
How many hints do I get?
And we'll see. We'll start with a couple. We'll see how long it takes you to get there. But folks, you need to stay tuned, because when we come back, I'm going to try to melt Dave's brain with my selection, because I bet you he does not see my choice coming. And you're not going to hear that if you leave us. So stick around, come back, listen to me try to melt Dave's brain. You are listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to Music Chairs here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar here regaling you with all of our musical joy. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Invest in some sweet, sweet Chair Shot swag. We got some great stuff out there. And Dave, I got to tell you, very excited about my choice today. Bad Religion, by the way, that was the first half. If you just, for some reason, I don't know why I use some radio isms when we podcast. Like, if you've just joined us, it's a podcast. Did you skip the first 20 minutes? Probably not. Yeah. So you've been joining us. It's like me saying stick around. Like, were you like, fuck this? I want to know what Patrick O'Dowd's going to say.
At least you're not saying film at 11.
I am not saying film at 11. That is true. But, okay, so I wanted to get outside of my comfort zone and box today with my selection for musical chairs. And the artist I have chosen, I am sure, will be a surprise today. And when I think it's going to be a surprise to Dave, I like to play a game where we see if Dave can guess who the artist is before I reveal it. So, Dave, how would you like to ask questions about the artist, or would you like me to just drop a hint, you work on it a little bit, and if you need another hint, I give you another hint until you guess it? How do you want to play the game? We can do it either way.
Probably give me a hint. Otherwise, it's so broad to try and whittle that down.
Fair enough. We will start with, I'm going to give you a really broad. It is a female solo artist.
Pat Benatar.
Incorrect. They are a current musician.
Are you going with Tay Tay?
Correct. It's Taylor Swift.
Wow.
We're going to talk about Taylor Swift today. And here is why. Dave ain't going to like to hear this. In fact, a lot of my fellow middle-aged dudes aren't going to like to hear this. Taylor Swift, at 34 years old, with a career now that spans just over a decade. She started in 2000, actually more than a decade. She her first album hit in 2007, which is kind of hard. Or I'm sorry, not even that. She signed with Big Machine Records in 2005. She had a 19-year music career at age 34. Her first two albums, Taylor Swift in 2006 and Fearless in 2008, and we're in 2024. This woman has been a part of popular culture and music since the mid to late aughts into today, and has become, and I will stick by this, and I've said this on Bandwagon Nerds, actually, she's not only the biggest musician and popular culture figure in the world today, I would argue that her significance and her popularity is right up there with the Beatles, Michael Jackson, Madonna, and those artists of their ilk. The woman is so massive. And here's the kicker. She's very good. She is enormously talented as a musician. And when you look at the arc of her career, starting as a country pop artist, sort of influenced by Shania Twain and doing some of that stuff and opening for the likes of like Tim McGraw, how she had a song titled Tim McGraw, to then shifting into sort of this country pop and now is like just a full on pop artist and star that is reaching like every album of hers. And I say this as somebody who does not have any of her music. In fact, to do this episode, I went to one of my friends who is a Taylor Swift super fan and was like, listen, this is the concept of the podcast. I can talk about Taylor Swift's career. Everybody knows her hits because she is a part of our popular culture consciousness. But I need help with the deep cuts because I don't own a Taylor Swift album. I don't have a bunch of her music on her iTunes, though I was accused by this friend of now being an unofficial Swiftie. But what I was able to do was just point out, if you look at the trajectory of her career and how she has been a chameleon with her musical styling, starting with this pop culture thing to exploring synth pop. She's had music that has been, imbued with, inspired by hip hop. She's had music that has been influenced and inspired by folk music and just a whole gamut of music. And the thing that's, true is that Taylor Swift's music doesn't exactly speak to middle-aged, 46-year-old Patrick O'Dowd, because I'm not you know, 20-something to 34-year-old Taylor Swift. Like, and I think one of the things that's been really interesting is, you know, her life and her scrutiny is such that the audacity of her dating a football player and showing up to his games where a network films her left and right somehow gets put on her as if she is craving attention by supporting her boyfriend, who I will even say, I admittedly, when they started dating, was like, oh, this is a stunt thing. But they seem to be having a genuinely solid, loving relationship at this point. Like, they're still together. She's going to his games. He's showing up at her concerts. They seem to be doing well together. And, like, she's a force for the rest. There are college courses about her economic impact to cities that she tours at. She donates to charitable causes at every single tour venue that she hits. She, in an effort to reclaim ownership of her own music, re-recorded albums and calls them the Taylor version to get herself out from under the rights thumb of Big Machine Records when she gained a modicum of her independence. She once countersued somebody after they had tried to sue her for like defamation or something because she was sexually assaulted for $1. Went through the court system for 2 years, won, got her dollar, not because she needed the money, but because she wanted to call attention to the toxic masculine nature of the recording industry and the abuses that even she has suffered within her career. And all the while, she's only the biggest global phenomena artist of our lifetime, I would argue. Like, I think she's bigger than Michael Jackson at this point. I think she's as big as the Beatles in terms of just her gravity. And you can argue, you can sit there and you can shake your head or whatever. I'm going to say this, her influence is being felt in music now. Like, her early stuff, which was, again, nearly 20 years ago. And that's what's mind-blowing, is I think so many people don't think of Taylor Swift as a longstanding veteran artist. And yet here she is 18 years ago. Like, her first album graduated high school this year. Like, that's 20 years. That's a decade. And the Beatles, people started claiming the Beatles were heavily influential in them the second they stopped recording. And that was, they had a 10-year career span. She's already up to 20, and there's no signs of her slowing down. She's massive. And I think it needs to be said. So I said it today.
I'll say this. I think we're kind of comparing apples and oranges a little bit just because of the time, you know, the era that we're living in, and comparing it to the 60s and what was, I mean, she's a phenomenon, absolutely, like the Beatles, like Michael Jackson, like Madonna. You know, you look at some of the bigger names out there. I mean, you know, I don't listen to country music, but, you know, like Garth Brooks and that sort of thing, and the phenomenon that he creates. But yeah, she, her.
I think she's bigger.
Yeah, I mean.
She's bigger.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, that's, I get what you're saying. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. It's just a difficult comparison to draw just because of the time, the eras. And like, you look at, you know, people aren't screaming at, well, they are screaming at her concerts. I don't know about if they're passing out at her concerts like they were with the Beatles, but.
Yeah, people go and can't remember what happened. Yeah. Like there's this phenomenon. I mean, it's a hysteria. 60 some thousand people attended a Taylor Swift concert in practically a monsoon at Gillette Stadium in New England. Yeah. And there was no way they weren't going. And she performed. And that's the thing, is like, we can give this woman a hard time because maybe she's not the music that we understand or love or appreciate. It. That woman does it for her fans. Yeah. I think she's phenomenal.
I don't mind her music. My favorite song by her is Bad Blood. I've always loved that song. I love the video, that sort of thing. You cannot deny her talent. You cannot deny her commitment to her brand and her fans. And I mean, like, you bring up the Travis Kelce thing, and you're absolutely right. She never asked for any of that shit. It was the NFL who glommed onto that, said, we have a massive opportunity to cross cultural lines and barriers and make the NFL's never been more popular than it is now. And every time the Kansas City Chiefs are on, they fuck you, Dallas. Kansas City is America's team now because of Taylor Swift.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I don't even blame the NFL for doing it.
No, right.
The old man yelling at Cloud bullshit is hilarious to me because they want to grow their audience.
When it started, I forget which podcast, one of the ones I was on with Tunney or somebody else, and we had said that the NFL would be fucking moronic to not not take advantage of that. I mean, it is, she is the most recognizable face in the world today, with the exception of Donald Trump, who she hates, and there's a mutual hatred between the two of them, and that's all fine and great. But I, you know, she,
it's funny. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but it's funny you bring that up because after her endorsement of Kamala Harris, the amount, the push of voter registration that has now happened amongst her audience is astronomical.
Yeah.
Like she has, she is, in my opinion, the most powerful entertainer in the world.
And she may, she may swing that election too. Kamala, and when it's all said, because Donald's response when she endorsed, "I hate Taylor Swift." It's like, what a petulant little shit of
a dumbest. Like, it's so childish and juvenile too. Like, why are we doing it? All right, we are coming up on it for time, so I want to make sure we get our songs. So, again, I went to a friend because I was like, "Look, I know, like I know the popular songs. Like, I know Shake It Off. I know Bad Blood. Everybody knows those tunes. You would have to literally have been lost in a like steel cocoon." Underground for the last 20 years to not know Taylor Swift's popular music. And so she gave me three songs. I picked two. I listened to them today. The first one that she gave me, this came, this is one of her redos, one of hers where she took the music back. This is off the album Red, Taylor's version, and it's titled Run. It's a duet that she did with Ed Sheeran. And yes, most of Taylor Swift's music is about relationships. Because that's her life, and that's okay. Much of music is about relationships and love. And in this one, it's telling a story of, you know, running away with someone because of how they feel about them and that they love. And the version with Ed Sheeran is beautiful. Their voices meld wonderfully, wonderfully well together. And so you want to make sure that when you catch this, it's Run. And in parentheses, it'll be Taylor's version, Dave, not the OG version. That's the old version. The other song that I chose was one that actually I liked it a little bit better. I think it would actually speak to you a little bit more. It's off of her Midnights album from 2022. It's titled Would've, Could've, Should've. And it is largely believed to be about her relationship back when she was 19 with John Mayer. Who, by the way, at the time was 34 years old, and that's fucked up. And if you go, and it's funny, we were talking about the value of a lyric video. As I'm reading the lyrics to this video, and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is all about like how not good this was, and in her reflecting on this, like I was like young and naive and kind of being very much manipulated by an older man, like. You know, if I was some paint, did it splatter on a promising grown man? And if I was a child, did it matter if you got to wash your hands? Like, it's very much about John Mayer being like, whoa, like, you know, it's very interesting. And again, understanding what she's writing. She writes about her life experiences. And that song's very good. And it's a little heavier than what you're used to out of a Taylor Swift. So Would've, Could've, Should've is going to be my other choice today. And, yeah, like that's me, Taylor Swift.
That's a wild extreme.
Does not mean I'm a Swiftie.
A wild extreme on musical chairs today, which we do from time to time. That's that'll be fun. Bad Religion, Taylor Swift. I'd pay to see the show. I'm just saying.
Yes. Here's the thing: is if I thought my child wanted to see Taylor Swift in concert, I would consider taking.
Is Lil O'Dowd not a fan yet?
No, he's not. In fact, we did have our first conversation about his possible first concert because Weird Al Yankovic announced he is doing a tour in 2025 and dates will be coming out Monday at 10 a.m. So Weird Al Yankovic fans, check it out. He's going to be announcing a tour. And I'm hoping that this will be the Lil O'Dowd's first ever live concert. Nice. Fingers crossed. I think that's a good one. I've never seen Weird Al. So I would love to see him live.
You covered him one of these.
And he was my season finale, I think last year. So good stuff. All right. Well, we are coming up on time, Dave. Let's wrap things up. Tell everybody where they can find you on the Chairshot Radio Network and on the socials.
Yeah. On X, you can find me at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, home of the Big Five Project, where we just released the episode covering King of the Ring 1994. And man, Pat, the 300th episode of that show is very close now. So I'm probably
going to
invite you because you've never been on the show for reasons. And 300, that seems like a good time to get the wrestling realist on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the number one chair shot villain. So I think a lot of times, I'm not wanted so much because
it's our schedules when we record are not going to be very lined up. But
it's tough.
You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
Excellent. And you can catch me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. It is at WrestlingRealist. You can generally catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Monday talking nerdy stuff on Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesdays talking music and hockey on musicalchairs.com/hockeytalk. And on Wednesdays, talking wrestling with Greg DeMarco at The Greg DeMarco Show, where I think this week we're going to be talking about my experience at an AEW live event as I attended my first one ever. So make sure you tune in for that. I'm fine. It was fine. But that is it for this week's edition of Musical Chairs. I will be off next week. We'll see if Dave can find DJ. Maybe DJ can fill in, do an episode of my absence while I go hang out with the mouse in what appears to be monsoon season in Florida. It's going to be a great time. Thank you everyone for listening. And we'll catch you next time. You have been listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com.
Stayed on my knees, and a damn sure never would have danced with the devil. righteous. If I never blushed, then they could have never whispered about this. And if you never saved me from boredom, I could have gone on as I was. But Lord, you made me feel important, and then you tried to erase us.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.